The names that God has represents different facets of his nature. In the Old Testament, there are 72 names of God in Hebrew, but we're going to be looking at five of the prominent ones. Our English translations only use God, the Lord, God Almighty for all of them, but we can learn more about his nature about looking into them. Jehovah's the name that's used the most. It means the Lord. In the New Testament, there's primarily three names of God. There was God the Father, God the Son, who's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And we like to explain the Trinity like it's an apple. You know, the apple is made up of a core and the meat and the skin. It has three distinct parts, but it's all apple. You can't separate it. It's all apple. And that's the way the Trinity is. They have distinctions, but they're all one. We're going to read Mark 12:29. All of the scriptures I'm using today are New King James, except the last one that I'll be doing. But here it says, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all of the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So there's not many gods, but there are many facets of the nature of the one true God.'" Colossians 2:9 tells us that in him, Jesus, dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus encompasses the whole thing. Amen? I'm Barbara Scott. I used to be known as Barbara Mason. There's one person that calls me sweetheart. And there's three people that call me mom. And there's a whole multitude that call me grandma or nana. In Mexico, there's people that call me mama, babarita, or doña babarita, hermana. But what people call me depends on their relationship to me. And think of a policeman or a border patrol agent. When a officer is chasing a drug dealer and arresting him, is the character he portrays the same as when he's playing with his children or talking to his wife? He's the same person. He's the same person, but what they call him is based on their relationship to him. His wife calls him sweetheart. His kids call him daddy. And we don't even want to know what the drug dealer calls him. We're going to look at the five primary names of God in the Old Testament. The first one we're looking at is El Elyon. It's the name of the nature of God that is the Most High God. Possessor of heaven and earth, he's the Father of Jesus Christ. He's the God of the nations. El Elyon portrays the nature of love, light, forgiveness, freedom, and life. King David worshipped El Elyon, the Most High God. We're going to read Psalms 91:1. And it says, "He that dwells in the secret place," hallelujah, all of my scriptures are in the New King James, but anyway, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High," who is El Elyon, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Then we're going to read Luke 1:32. It says, "He," Jesus, talking about Jesus, "will be great and be called the Son of the Highest," or the El Elyon. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Hide that little nugget in your heart. We're going to go back to that quite a bit later on. And then another name of God in the Old Testament was Yahweh. It was also known as Jehovah or the Lord. And it's the name of the nature of God that gives law, leads to victory, judges, punishes, wounds, heals, and delivers. He was the God of Israel. Yahweh gave the law to Moses. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they were really a rebellious people. Their hearts were far from God. And so because they were rebellious, God dealt with them in a different way than he might deal with somebody that's submissive and in love with him. Amen. Jehovah is often used with another name, like Jehovah Jireh means the Lord provides. We're going to read Genesis 24:14, and it says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide.'" That's Jehovah Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Jehovah Rapha means the Lord heals. Exodus 16:26 says, "I am the God who heals you." Or, "I am Jehovah Rapha." And there's many of those names that have the combination of the Lord and his nature, what he does for us. And we're not going to go into the rest of those this morning. About 20 or 30 years ago, they were real popular in the church. And a lot of churches you walked in, there were those names all over the walls of the church, the different names of the Jehovah and what he was doing. Hallelujah. The next name we're going to talk about is Elohim. It's the nature of God that creates. All through Genesis chapter 1, every place where God said, and it was Elohim. He was the creator God. We're going to read Genesis 1:26. And it says, "Then God," which was Elohim, "said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.'" God gave us authority over creeps. No, that's just kidding. But God created man to be creative. And he created us to have dominion. Eloah is the name of the nature of God that is the Christ, the life-giving, creative force, the Messiah, anointing, the Holy Spirit. Eloah is derived from the Hebrew word aleia, meaning to worship or adore. It was first used in Genesis 2:4. And it says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God," or Jehovah Eloah, "made the earth and the heavens. The earth was created to worship and adore." We were created to worship and be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's God's purpose for us. Genesis 2:15 says, when he's talking about the creation, it says, "Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." Tend is the word adad in Hebrew, and it means care for, work, serve, worship. So we were called and we were created to worship God. He's made us a dwelling place of himself, and we're made to worship. It's who we are. Nehemiah 9:17 describes the personality of the Holy Spirit. It says, "You are God, Eloah, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in kindness." That's the Holy Spirit. how he relates to us. And that's good news. I love that. I love that he's merciful with us and gracious and abundant in kindness towards us. That's so precious. And then the last one we're going to look at is El Shaddai. It literally means the many-breasted one. It's the name of the nature of God that loves, nourishes, and provides. All through the life of Abraham, he had fellowship with El Elyon, the Most High God, and also with El Shaddai, the provider. And because the scriptures call us the sons of Abraham, we're going to look at Abraham's relationship with El Shaddai, the nature of God that loves, nourishes, and provides. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures here, one after the other, that connects us with Abraham and lets us know our blessings and rights as sons of Abraham. Okay, Galatians 3, 6 through 7. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are faith are the sons of Abraham. Abraham's lineage is a faith lineage rather than bloodline. We are children of faith because we believe. We're going on to Galatians 3, 13 through 14. And it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then we're going on to Galatians 3, 29. It says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Another scripture here, we're going to read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. Abraham had to step out in faith, not knowing where he was going, in obedience to Christ. Obedience was his key to receiving the promise. And obedience to the Lord is our key to receiving the promises of the Lord. Down to verse 2. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to other people. Amen? We are blessed to bless. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This scripture shows partnership. When you join yourself to what is blessed, you will be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's just good news. Abraham had many blessings of being in fellowship with El Shaddai. Genesis 13, 2 says, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he's my daddy. He's my father Abraham, amen? And he was very wealthy in natural things, but he had a relationship with El Shaddai, the provider God. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 9. And it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah. Because before we were born again, we were like under the curse. But Jesus came to set us free from that curse and so that we can be rich. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it is. But it's the love of money. Our money, what we have should not be what we love. We love God and we use what he gives us to be a blessing to others. Amen? And the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, all of the thousands of people that's been killed in the cartel wars lately, it's all over the love of money. You know, and it's, so it is, the love of money is horrible. It really is. But we don't love money. We use it. We are conduit for God to pour blessings through to others. Amen. And Deuteronomy 8:18, we're going to read that, and it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it was to this day." So God wants us to use whatever wealth we have to help establish his kingdom in the world. Amen? That's what we are blessed in every way to be a blessing. Amen. We're going to read Genesis 14, 19 through 20. It says, Abraham had a divine visit with Melchizedek. And he, that's Melchizedek, blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abram of God, Most High." There's El Elyon again. "Possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he, Abraham, gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. Abraham gave a tithe, which is 10%, long before the law of Moses came about. In the law of Moses, they were commanded to tithe, and there was a curse put on them if they didn't tithe. Galatians 3:13 tells us that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. That's good news. Amen. So our giving should never be out of fear or obligation, but as a desire coming from our heart. Amen. Because our father Abraham tithed and we're blessed, we will also be blessed when we follow his example. As God's children, there's a desire in our spirit to give because God's a giver. He gave his most valuable thing to the earth. He gave his only son. Hallelujah. And we are blessed to be a blessing, and our giving keeps the blessing flowing. We're going to read a story now about Isaac, Abraham's son. In Genesis 26, we're going to read 1 through 4, and then we're going down to read 12 through 14. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.'" And we're the seed of Abraham. Amen? So in us, all the nations of the Lord will be blessed. Okay, we're going on down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So he really prospered. Isaac would not have prospered had he not sown. Where God had him, he sowed seed, and he prospered. And where and when he sowed, according to the instructions of the Lord, was the key to his abundant harvest. It is vital to hear the voice of the Lord and obey him. You know, we need to be continually in communication with the Lord and listen to him and obey him. Amen. There's always a few who are blessed when the majority are shaken and fearful. During a great famine, Elijah went to a little widow's house and asked for food. And she said, "I only have enough meal and enough oil to fix one more food for me and my son, and then we'll die." But instead, she fixed it and she gave it to Elijah. And it says that her meal barrel and her oil never ran out until the famine was over. She had enough. Her giving in faith kept her and sustained her through the time of the famine. The current world economic crisis should convince us that it's time to get in alignment with the kingdom of God and his economic system. It's not failing. You know, God's not having a nervous breakdown of what's going on in earth. He's got it all figured out. He's still God. Hallelujah. And we need to stay in fellowship with him. Amen. We're going to now look at Elyon, the Most High God, who not only Abraham worshipped, but also King David. And we're going to start by reading a prophecy from Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And it's referring to Jesus. It's a prophecy about Jesus. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom." Remember the throne of David a while ago? "In order to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then we're going to read a scripture in Acts 15, and we're going to read 16 through 17. It said, "After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles or who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things." Now, why did God choose to rebuild the tabernacle of David instead of the tabernacle of Moses? We're going to look at the tabernacle of Moses just a little bit and then at the tabernacle of David. In the tabernacle of Moses, the emphasis was on the law. All 603 of them that they had to keep, or they would be cursed. It was a pretty heavy order. Only the men could worship in Moses' tabernacle. And only the Hebrews could worship there. Any foreigners that were in the land couldn't go there. They couldn't worship there. In the tabernacle of David, the emphasis was on worship. Men and women were welcome. All nations, whosoever will, could come there and worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. David had a deep prayer relationship with God. Once David became king over all Israel, he raised up a simple tent called David's Tabernacle, where worship, praise, and prayer went on continuously night and day. He and those of like spirit had face-to-face fellowship with God before the ark, without any curtains separating them from God's presence. Hallelujah. David, it seems that we can find in the scripture, never went to Moses' tabernacle, although it was still standing on Mount Gibeon about 6 miles away. He had no interest in it because God's presence wasn't there. Under Moses' law, he would have been commanded to offer sacrifices there and to keep it going continually under Moses' laws. The big difference we see here is grace and mercy versus the law. Hallelujah for grace and mercy. We all need that. Hallelujah. And for a short period of time under the rule of David, the people knew and related to the Most High God, El Elyon. Amen. The God of mercy and grace. As soon as Solomon became king, he took the people back to Moses' tabernacle and the law. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And I've heard that it was about 4 inches thick. It was very a thick veil. And it was torn in two from the top to the bottom by God. And from that time on, man has been able to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. He tore down the dividing line between us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. It's kind of a long passage, but it just says so much. 1 Corinthians 3, 7, but the ministry of death, which is talking about the law, written and engraved on stones, if that was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what was passing away was glory, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news. Hallelujah. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, if we want to be more like Jesus, we have to spend time in his presence. And that does it. That does it. It brings us closer and closer to him as we spend time in his presence. We're going to look again at the highlights of King David's kingdom that has been restored, where King Jesus reigns. The emphasis is on praising God, exuberant rejoicing, hallelujah, amen. It's for all people, all nations. He's the God of the nations, whosoever will come to the Lord. It's where mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. Amen. It's where love replaces the law. The law of love replaces the law of Moses. Amen. Praise is a powerful part of David's kingdom that Isaiah 9:6 declares will continue forever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to read an example of in 1 Chronicles 15:28, it says, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, with shouting, and with sound of the horn, with trumpets, with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. Hallelujah. You know, and that's still the way to usher in the presence of the Lord, with singing, with worship, with instruments, giving glory to God. You know, when the music is playing and worship is going on, I can just feel the Lord. It's just like waves of his presence just wash over us. It's just he's here. You know, God dwells in the presence where his people are worshiping. That's where he is. We're going to read the Song of the Redeemed. In 1 Chronicles 16, we're going to read 23 through 34 in the Message. David wrote this song when he brought the ark home to David's tabernacle from the land of the Philistines. And I would like everybody to look at the words and say it out loud with me. It was David's worship to the Lord, but it's our worship to the Lord. Amen. Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and all religions. And why? Because God is great. Well worth praising. No god or goddess comes close in honor. All the popular gods are stuff and nonsense. But God made the cosmos. Splendor and majesty flow out of him. Strength and joy fill his place. Shout bravo to God. Families of the peoples, in awe of the glory, in awe of the strength. Bravo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout bravo to his famous name. Lift high an offering and enter his presence. Stand resplendent in his robes of holiness. God is serious business. Take him seriously. He's put the earth in place, and it's not moving. Hallelujah. So let the heaven rejoice. Let earth be jubilant. And pass the word among the nations. God reigns. Let's say that again. God reigns. Hallelujah. Let ocean, all teeming with life, bellow. Let field and all its creatures shake the rafters. Then the trees of the forest will add their applause to all who are pleased and present before God. He's on his way to set things right. Hallelujah. Give thanks to God. He is good, and his love never quits. Save us, Savior God. Round us up and get us out of these godless places so we can give thanks to your name and bask in your life of praise. Blessed be God, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. I love that. Bravo, God. Bravo. Yes. God's a powerful God. Hallelujah. He's a God of mercy and grace. He took away the dividing wall that separated us from him. Hallelujah. He exchange the law of Moses for the law of love. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good, and he loves us so much, and he's ever drawing us and wooing us closer to him, closer to fellowship with him, loving him, being in his presence, rejoicing in him. He's a mighty God, a mighty God, great and mighty and awesome is our God. Hallelujah. We have a God of victory. Oh, hallelujah. We are overcomers because he's with us. How can we fail? How can we fall? Because God is on our side. Hallelujah. Oh, how can we be anything but victorious with the Prince of Peace and the Victor living within us? Hallelujah. We have an awesome, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would like the praise to come, and we're going to spend some time praying. Hallelujah. Vanessa just turned 15, and she didn't have a quinceañera, but her family asked that we bless her and pray over her today, and we would also like to pray for Lexi, and we just want to bless these girls. Lexi is having a quinceañera real soon. And she's turning 15. And I would like all of our elders, all of our ministers to come up, and we're all going to pray. And I would like your families to come and stand with you. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's somebody else here 15 that we've missed, well, we can pray for you too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is a special, special time. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you turning 15? You're already 15. Okay. Well, we'll just bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. What a blessing. You know, from a pastoral standpoint, one of my greatest blessings is to see children mature and start their walk as an adult. And in agreement with our Latin culture in this area, we have special celebrations many times for our 15-year-old girls, our young ladies that are moving from adolescence into womanhood. Well, you know, or I see them as that, in that special place where they're still young enough to be teachable, but old enough to know what to do. And so we're just going to pray God's blessings on our 15-year-old children as they're becoming adults. You know, they're not in an easy place. How many know becoming an adult can be challenging? I know I'm working on it. Been working on it for some years. And we all need God's help. But especially our precious teenagers at this this age when the peer pressure is heavy. There's a lot going on in their world, a lot going on in our world. And they just need God's help. Amen? So just reach your hands and your faith up this way as we ask God's blessing on these young people. Amen. Hallelujah. Precious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. You elders, come on up and put your hands on these as you're led. Father, we just thank you for our young people and for our young maidens in this time, for this special day, Lord, to bless our young maidens. Lord, as they make this transition, transitioning from little girl to big girl, from teenage to womanhood, Lord, there's a lot going on in their lives right now. There's a lot going on physically and spiritually and psychologically. And Lord, we ask for your help and your guidance. We ask for your special blessing upon these young ladies, Lord. Special blessing that you guard them and guide them, lead them and protect them. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of these young lives. Lord, we are honored. These young people bring honor to us as parents in the church and leaders in the church. We are honored to be in the presence of young, beautiful young people that are ready to serve God and ready to face the world with faith. And Lord, we just bless them and pray your special blessings of glory and honor, protection. Lord, that they be guarded against any evil. Lord, that they be guarded in their minds and guarded in their actions. Lord, that you'll surround them by faith and surround them with people that will help them to walk in faith and hope and love. Lord, we're just so blessed and so honored with these young people, Lord. And Lord, our young men, Lord, we have young men in this age group. And we bless them. Ask your special blessing upon our young men, Lord, that they will make wise decisions beyond their years. That their peers and their families will say, young man, you've done the right thing. Because they'll be led of the Lord, led of the Holy Spirit to make right decisions. And we bless them with safety, protection, guarding and guiding, Lord, as only you can. Thank you, Lord, for our young people. And for the children, Lord, we have a lot of little ones standing up here. Little guys that are up and coming. Children of the Lord, King's kids. Lord, we just thank you so much for these precious children. And Lord, for the parents, Lord. Lord, these parents that are sharing their children with the church. They're sharing their children, Lord. And we just thank you for these lovely parents and for how they have put their faith in you, Lord. And Lord, we know, most of us know, it's not easy being a parent. And we all, even as parents, go through many things, many faces, many phases of life that we've never faced before, never seen before. But Lord, with your help, we'll do this thing right. With your help, we'll raise these young people correctly. With your help, Lord, with your help, we're going to teach them correctly. With your help, we'll be able to help guard and guide. With your help, Lord, our children will grow up to serve you and be solid citizens, not only in the kingdom of man, but more so even in the kingdom of God, citizens of the heavenly kingdom, blessed of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, I ask that each one standing here today and each of these littler children too, Lord, will find your path for their life and your calling. Father, they will blossom, that they will become leaders in God's kingdom, that they will become leaders and trendsetters. Hallelujah, that they find that special place of calling that God has created them for, that they shine bright in a dark world, that they stand strong, that they be anointed, and that you just will wrap your presence around each of them, Father, that you will wrap your precious presence around them, that your presence will hover around them and within them, be strong and mighty. We just bless them, hallelujah, with your presence. And I pray, Father, that every one of them will grow in favor with God and man. That they will have favor with God, that they will have favor with man. That they will do well, that they will prosper and shine in this world. We thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Anyone else have a prayer or anything you want to pray? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your blessing and your anointing upon these families, Lord. I pray that your presence will just surround them every moment of every day, that they'll be very aware of you and very in touch with your voice and your will. Open their ears to hear the voice of the Lord, and that they shine bright. That they shine bright, that their lives be full of joy and full of peace, full of wisdom. Wisdom and understanding. That they prosper in all they put their hands to do and be blessed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Would you guys like to know something? Just say yes. Those are the most beautiful young people in Douglas. And those that are still sitting back here with you today, you guys are the most beautiful young people in Douglas. Yeah, pat somebody on the back and say, you're beautiful. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, the presence of the Lord is here today. If you have a prayer need, if you would like prayer, we would just love to pray for you. God's a miracle-working God. Amen? He is a mighty God. And if you need prayer, yes, come right on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you all come and help me pray.